Good morning. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show on Thursday, July the 21st of 2016. A beautiful and to be hot. It's going to be hot today. Late July day. Seems like summertime has finally kind of arrived. It's been a little slow in coming, a little unusual, but it does look like it's getting here. I'm Jack. That's Jim across from me. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. Yes, it's going to be what I think the weather last night on the news said Spokane area 90 plus mm-hmm. degrees. I don't know if we're going to get up that high, but I think gardens, especially vegetable gardens, are just poised and ready for some heat.
Mm-hmm. It does say they've adjusted down a little bit. It says in Sandpoint 85 degrees. I was seeing 90.
I can live with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about the upper limits of my heat tolerance.
80 is mine. Mm-hmm. But you know, if it never got over 80 degrees, I'd be totally
That'd
thrilled.
Be fine.
But mm-hmm. I'll take it when you see what the rest of the country is going through in terms of, mm-hmm. I have a brother in Billings, Montana, and I guess that they are just getting belted with hot weather this week.
I spoke to my mother on the phone the other day in Minnesota, and she was looking for some place to take a swim at 10:20 p.m. local time.
You bet.
Yeah. So anyway, let me give you the rest of the forecast for the weekend. It's 85 degrees is the high today. Tonight there will be a 30% chance of thunderstorms with a low around 53. Tomorrow it looks like we're going to get some rain and a high near 70 degrees, 70% chance of showers. Then it should clear off in the evening with a low around 50. And Saturday, high of 76 degrees and sunny. That weather pattern continuing sunny all the way through the forecast and highs in the growing 82 degrees on Sunday, 85 degrees on Monday. And I believe, according to the 10-day, looks like we'll get as high as 90 on Wednesday. So that's what's coming up. That's what we've got to look forward to. And in a little more short term, we're looking forward to a conversation with Jim Zuberbühler, the race director of the Long Bridge Swim. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I'm good.
The Long Bridge Swim is now in its
22nd year.
Okay, so let's subtract it from 2016. 1994?
96.
96. Okay. I wasn't good at math. I was good at other things, but not math. I take it you were not around in the first year.
No, I wasn't, but that's the year that Eric Ridgway and 68 of his closest friends swam across the lake.
The same point where they're doing it now?
Absolutely, same spot. Yep, they started out in South End and ended at Dog Beach.
And this year's Long Bridge Swim is going to occur 2 weeks from this Saturday, August 6th. So where are you guys now in terms of moving towards this major event?
Registrations are coming in like they usually do. We expect to have probably 750 swimmers, which is about where we've been the last year or two. We expect to have people from, oh gosh, at least 25 states. We always have people from 10 or 12 different countries. We have at least 50 Canadians. We have a whole bunch of Calgarians that come each year to swim. It's a great event in that regard.
How about gender? Do you break it down that far into, like, besides geographics, male, female?
It's almost exactly even, Jim.
Cool.
Every year, yeah.
Excellent. And who's your oldest swimmer? Not by name.
You know, I didn't look this year yet, but we always have some folks who were in their late 70s or into their 80s. And we always have a 6 or 7 year old, at least, who's going to try to.
Oh, how okay. Now the course itself, how long is it?
1.76 miles.
Okay, and let's say, for example, I'm listening right now, and I go, I like to be in the water, and I like to splash around, that sort of thing, and I can do a lap or two at the pool. Boy, that sounds like a long distance. How do I get ready? Who's your audience? Who are you talking to in terms of registering?
Well, we've really got, I would suggest we've got three groups of people who do the swim each year. We've got a couple hundred people who come who are competitive,
okay,
including local folks, but we have We have swim coaches from as far away as Seattle, Portland, Salt Lake City. They'll load their swim team kids onto a van and they'll come and throw them in the water. It's a great summer competitive event. And that's really something. And we've also got ex-college swimmers, current college swimmers. We've got people who have been to the Olympic trials in the past. We've got a group of people in my age group who are always in the top five overall in their mid, late 50s, who, cool. again, are top finishers. So that we have that couple hundred people who are very competitive. Then we have probably 400 people who have done it before or who are familiar with this kind of a swim and come just to have a good time. And that's really great. It's really fun to watch that group. A lot of the times, families, you know, moms, dads, kids. And then we have a group of people each year, and it's usually a couple hundred people who aren't sure they can make it across the lake, which is sort of the group that you were referring to. And sometimes they've done some training for it. Sometimes they're sort of off the couch. And we're really set up to help that group. We have such a finely tuned safety apparatus in place that we're ready. And so you really can, if you're not sure, it's a safe event to try.
Can I use, let's say, flippers, or can I use like those little things that kids have on their arms, those little floating devices? Can I have those things if I attempt this feat?
You're only allowed to use flippers. Flippers are the only assist device you're allowed to use. No kickboards, no noodles, no floaties. It's the Longbridge swim, not the Longbridge float.
Float. Okay.
And that's those are safety issues.
Oh, really? It's a safety issue if I had a noodle?
That's right. Because we really want to, that really encourages people. You know, we could have non-swimmers. Have non-swimmers out there. And we think that used to happen. So during the years that I was the safety director, we decided not to permit people to.
Noodles would encourage non-swimmers rather than people owning the water.
That's right.
I've often thought, I like a pool because there's some sort of security and safety. I can see four walls. What's it like when you have just nothing?
Water. It's actually a really big challenge for a lot of people. A lot of people have a big issue with swimming in the open water, and particularly the first time. And that's one of the reasons it's such a significant accomplishment for first timers.
Oh, I can imagine.
The open water idea is such a big deal. And one of the things that's unique about the Longbridge swim is because it's along the pedestrian bridge, you have this sense that you're not out in the middle of the lake, and
and
your friends, family can walk along the pedestrian bridge and actually watch you, and you can see them, and that makes it a unique event. So, and we have thousands of spectators, so it's probably the biggest spectator open water swim, certainly in the Northwest. Just no other one exists like it.
Are you that open water issue that's hitting me kind of close to home? I've thought about swimming in it before, but I guess it's a little, I don't know, nerve-wracking to me. That idea of being right in the middle of it. But as you say, it would be comforting to be around all sorts of other swimmers.
And you've got the mountains, you've got scenery around. I guess being ex-literature teacher, I think of Moby Dick and Pip, the cabin boy for Ahab, who keeps on, the moment they hook onto a whale, he jumps out of the boat and they have to let go of the whale and go get Pip. And Ahab says, hey, next time you do it, you're on your own. So he jumps out. They stick with the whale, and there's Pip in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, openness all around. I'm not going to tell you what happens to Pip, but it's an incredible chapter. And if you're looking for a summertime read dealing with water, when you're not training for the Longbridge swim, I highly recommend Moby Dick. Now, back to the Longbridge swim. There's a fee, isn't there?
Yes, it's very inexpensive. That's another goal of ours. Most events like this, whether it's a marathon or trail run or distance swim like this, most are quite expensive. They're often $50, $60, $75 for the event. Our early registration is $15 for the event. And in fact, if anyone has a hardship, we're very happy to scholarship them.
That's great.
All they have to do is just in fact, I had someone just contact me yesterday. She just texted me her address, so we'll just mail her a registration form so that she can. And so we're just very happy to do that. So there should be no. So that's early registration. The fee does go up as we get closer to the swim date. And that's just for planning purposes. We really want to, know how many swimmers we're going to have, but there should be no barriers to participating in the long.
I think that's right. Now, I think it's important that people know where does the money go and the kind of support the Long Bridge Swim gives to back to the community.
Very good question, Jim. The swim, the registrations completely pay for the cost of the swim, and we do generate a bit of a surplus, and I'll talk about that in a moment. We also ask sponsors to support us, and we've got just a very rich and wonderfully diverse group of local sponsors who have supported the swim for many, many years now. And about 8 years ago, we started the development of a swim lessons initiative. And our stated goal is to have no child get past third grade without learning how to swim in the county.
That is so important.
And so this has ramped up each year. And we're now in the position where we're supporting about 1,000 kids each year in the county. And it has just worked out very, very well. We're also providing water safety training for most of the special education kids in the district. We've also opened that up to kids at, for instance, Kinderhaven, Blue Haven, other places. Therapists are welcome to refer kids to us. We also now will have families who don't have the means for lessons. They can contact us. We're happy to support really anyone who would like or would need swim lessons, and that has really become a big deal. We also, with some of the surplus that we have from running the swim itself, and I should mention here, we have no paid staff. We are all volunteer. We have expenses with insurance, t-shirts, bathing caps, some food expense and so on, although we have so many in-kind donations. We do have a special project each year. A couple of years ago, we financed putting in the new pilings that go out from Dog Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we helped lead the charge to help Parks and Rec buy the goose poop scooper that they use at City Beach, which again, has an impact on swimming.
You bet it does. Who wants to walk in it as you go to the water?
That's right. And this year, the good folks at Parks and Rec approached us. They were having a hard time finding enough young people, and particularly young people who are fit enough to qualify and pass the lifeguard training program. A training program was developed to that end, and the Long Bridge Swim was asked to finance that program. So this winter, we financed that program and we scholarshiped all of the students who participate, all the young people who participated in the lifeguard training program, because we need to have a robust lifeguard program at City Beach. In fact, Coeur d'Alene dropped their lifeguard program this summer because they could not sustain it. And so I think that our local, Kim and Jason saw that happening and said, not here. And so it was the Long Bridge Swim that stepped in and helped with that. So we try to do something sort of behind the scenes each year, some special project in addition to our larger swim lessons initiative.
Let's get personal, Jim. When did you learn how to swim?
I really can't remember not knowing how to swim. I learned as a very small boy and always liked to swim. Never swam competitively.
Okay. I think back, I like being in water. I think like many children, you like being in water, but then there comes a point where you want to move through water. And rather than, I think the first thing you learn is a dog paddle.
Yeah.
But I went to YMCA, and there was something about learning how to swim gave me control. And it was really, probably we didn't have the phrase back then, a self-esteem issue, that I really liked myself in the water. How about you, Jack? How about you as a swimmer?
I also did the YMCA program. I learned, barely remember anything earlier than that. Like, I think my parents enrolled me very young, and I can remember being in the pool, like holding onto the side of the wall, and some young high school girl was working for the YMCA training little kids like me how to swim. I don't remember her name.
Did you grew up in Minnesota, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So land of lakes. Lots of opportunity.
I also wanted to know how to water ski, but you weren't allowed to
water ski in my family until you could competently swim from mm-hmm. a certain place to a certain place. So there was early incentive to do that mm. as well. It is the land of lakes. You're right. So I guess I was swimming in open water pretty young, but not wide open water again, just near the shore.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Jack, your comment about, you know, land of lakes, we don't have as many lakes here as Minnesota, but because we're surrounded by so much water, that was actually the impetus for starting our swim lessons initiative. We just felt that with so much water here and with so many young people not learning how to swim in our area, which is remarkable. Mm-hmm. But we mm-hmm. determined that was a problem, and we really felt strongly about.
Oh, I mean, you've got the lake, and how can you not, as a kid, want to go into the lake and learn how to? But you mentioned third graders. That would be what age?
About 10.
About 10. That would be about when I was going to the YMCA in terms of, you know, that's such a good age rather than later, because one grows up feeling comfortable in the water.
Yeah, or younger. It's, you know, it seemed like a sweet spot. And you know, we did some homework there, and it seemed like a good spot. So we literally have almost all the schools bring their third grade classes over, and that's how we get started.
Where do they do that at?
At Sandpoint West Athletic Club. And they have been a wonderful partner, and they're also one of our key lead sponsors each year. And I should mention that Parker Subaru has been our other lead sponsor for the last couple of years.
Okay, and let's talk once again, and we'll talk some more about the event itself, but registration is now open, and how does one register?
Online. We don't any longer do paper registrations, so one needs to register online until Tuesday, August 2nd. The only exception to the paper registrations is the last opportunity to register would be physically at the high school during packet pickup on Friday, August 5th. From 5:30 until 7 p.m., and one can register in person there that evening. But there is no same-day registration on the day of the swim. If you show up,
no registration on the 6th.
Yeah, you cannot show up on the 6th without having registered and expect to swim. We will not let you do that.
So when you talk about registration being online, what happens if I'm someone who says, I don't want to pay online. Is there an opportunity later to bring in a check or cash?
You just have to come on the 5th.
Come on the 5th, and that's at the high school.
Correct.
Wonderful. So where are you at right now in terms of planning for the event? Do you need volunteers? What's in line? What still needs to be done?
We have 10 volunteer department chairs, each of whom run their areas like a machine. Just a wonderful group of people. So registration, food, logistics, safety, insurance, transportation, it's the finish area, timing, it's really something. And we meet regularly throughout the year, particularly in the spring. We meet a couple of times to plan. And then we have 250 people on race day volunteer to pull this off. Over 150 of them dedicated to safety alone. So, Jack, if you're a little bit nervous, there's 90 people in sea kayaks. There's half a dozen people on personal watercraft. There's the Sheriff's Marine Division out there preventing boat traffic from going by. We also have a deputy dive team out there. We've got 10 deputies acting as spotters on the bridge. We've got a complete command center doing all the communications. We have Bonner General providing an EMS, you know, fully staffed medical tent at Dog Beach. We have an ambulance station there. And then we have a large food tent with wonderful food. Winter Ridge coordinates all of our, you know, food. Sean and Greg do a great job there. So it's really something on race day. It's just amazing. I mean, so we have a volunteer for every three swimmers.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, okay, you talked about the different classes of swimmers. What is the time span between when the competitive swimmers take off? I take it they're the first ones to go.
That's a really good question. So this is how it works. When we moved to chip timing a few years ago, the biggest driver for that was safety again.
Oh, yeah.
Because what happens is our start line is actually a little ways out into the water on the south end of the bridge. So that couple of hundred competitive people actually start in the water, so that when the horn goes off, they're starting in the water, and that's when their time starts. Everybody else is still up on land.
Right.
And they've got an ankle bracelet with their chip in it. And then they walk across a mat going into the water, and that activates their time.
Oh, cool.
And so it's this very civilized start. So you don't have people climbing
that
over each other.
That flurry of activity.
Right. And so that really eliminates a lot of the dangerous aspects of a mass start. So we could certainly have somebody, start 10 minutes after the race start and actually be the winner. They could actually win because their time starts when they cross the mat.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So how long does it take to get 700 people in the water going?
It's about 12 minutes.
No kidding. 12 kids. Okay. Now, is there a time like when Sunday rolls around, you pull somebody out of the water and say, okay, do you sweep people up? I mean, what's the longest you let somebody swimming?
We do have a cutoff for the event. We do wrap everything up between 2 hours and 15 minutes and 2 hours and 30 minutes. Okay. And again, it's a safety issue. We're also very focused on starting on time. We do our mandatory safety talk at the high school at 8 o'clock.
Good.
And then we have 18 buses that transport everyone over to the south end of the lake and drop them off. And then we try to start at exactly 9 a.m. And part of the reason for that is the kayakers are already deployed.
They're ready
to
go.
And all of our safety staff. And you can only sit on your bottom for so long in a kayak. And so, again, we're really paying attention to that. And we're very specific about, if you can't get past that first quarter mile mark in 45 minutes, there's just no way that you're going to be able to complete in time. So you're pulled, and you're done. That's done very politely and nicely. And we only have a few people that we need to do that with each year. And we only pull. It's interesting. As the event has grown every year, we still pull between 20 and 25 people each year. It's the same number of people who are a little cold, a little bit tired, or both.
Sure.
And it's just remarkably consistent, even though the numbers have, when I did it the first year in 2001, we had just under 400 people. So we've almost doubled in size, and yet we pull about the same number of people each year.
Interesting. Has the weather ever impacted the swim?
This will be my 16th year to swim. We've had 2 years where we've had to delay with some stormy weather. We've never had to call it. We are on the horn with NOAA, very early to make sure there's no cells that are coming into the area that might be dangerous. We would call it if we thought we had lightning in the area. And we have had a couple of mornings that were brisk with white caps and wind and swells. And that's been, uncomfortable for some people, but we're very sensitive to that. And we would never, do the race if we felt it was dangerous.
The race starts on the east or west side. It's on the south side.
And that's on the east side.
So,
of the bridge. On the lake side.
Yeah.
When you're heading down to Coeur d'Alene, it's on the left.
Right.
Right.
That must be an interesting and kind of surreal experience to be one of the people working on that, on the south side with 750 bodies around you, and then 12 minutes later, just gone disappeared into the water.
Yeah. It really is. It's just this all of a sudden. And then same thing at Dog Beach, particularly with the railroad having stored, they're storing all of their
equipment and
material
stuff
there for piling replacement. So our area where we can kind of have our, after party for the event has, shrunk. It's about a fifth as big as it used to be. And so we have all these swimmers and spectators, families. And so, we have a couple thousand people there. And if you wander down to Dog Beach to go for a swim, and if there's a few dozen people there, it feels a little crowded. And then here we are with a couple thousand.
And no dogs. Can I take my dog? If I go swimming, can I?
Do the swim with a dog?
Yeah.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. Just wondering.
And you've got to have that Longbridge Swim bathing cap on when you swim. That's our biggest safety mechanism. We want to know that my biggest concern is, as race director and our safety director, we want to make sure the same number of bathing caps come out that went in.
So perfect. Really perfect. Deal. We're here with Jim Zuberbühler, the race director of the Long Bridge Swim that is going to take place 2 weeks from this Saturday, August 6th. We're going to come back with Jim and talk some more about the event. I've got queued up the swimming song. It's the one that we play all the time, but I think this is a version by Kate and Anna McGarrigle, a couple Canadian sisters who have penned some incredible songs. But this one was written by Loudon Wainwright. Here is the swimming song, and then we'll get back to Jim.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. We're here with Jim Zuberbühler, the race director of the Long Bridge Swim, now in its 22nd year. How have things? I've got a question. How have things changed since you first got involved? It's grown. We know the number of people has grown. Is that it? Or
I think a couple of things. You know, when Eric Ridgway started this, Eric's focus was to have this be a really positive community event, and that's something we've worked very hard to preserve. And when Eric stepped down a couple years ago as the director, that was a real commitment that we made to preserve that. And I think all of us know Eric well. And in fact, maybe I could just share something personal. When I came up here to look at a job in 2000 and was considering moving to North Idaho, I went for a hike on the Mineral Point Trail during the weekend that I was up here interviewing. And I bump into this guy hiking and he starts telling me about this swim. And this is just, he's the first person I've met outside of the people that I'm interviewing with. And of course, it's Eric Ridgway. And he's telling me about this swim. And sure enough, the next summer, I did the Long Bridge Swim. So that's how I got roped into swimming in the Long Bridge Swim, was I met Eric Ridgway on a trail. So, you know, we've tried to preserve that community piece. And then I think the biggest thing that we've done in terms of change, Jack, is essentially leveraging the swim to support this swim lessons initiative. We have felt so strongly about that. And the genesis of that was 7-8 years ago, there were a couple of drownings. Mm. There was one up in Moi, 16-year-old boy drowned, was playing up there, stepped into a hole, was with a buddy, and drowned right there. And his friend didn't know what to do to help him. And then we had another situation, I think it was Spirit Lake, later in the same summer, very similar situation with a couple boys from Post Falls, teenagers, boy drowned, and his friend didn't know what to help. So it wasn't just a swimming skill problem, but it was a safety, not knowing how to help somebody
else.
Not
knowing what to do.
That's right. So two-pronged. So that really got me to thinking about how do we do this, and so we've developed a program where we bring these. We had to think about how to. I want to step back here. You can't just walk into a classroom of kids and ask who doesn't know how to swim. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to put their hand up. And so back when Dick Civitanich was the superintendent, I sat down with Dick and I went out to lunch a couple times to talk about this, and of course the district was very supportive about collaborating with this, but we noodled this quite a bit. How do we figure this out? And then we arrived at the solution. And then Mike Brosnahan over at SWAC and the Heatlanders, everybody was very supportive about trying to figure out how to. It was a pretty iterative process. And we arrived at bringing classes of kids over, running them through a 3-day safety course, over the course of a week or two, teaching this water safety course and using it also as a screening mechanism to figure out doesn't know how to swim or swim well enough. And then we bring those kids back for lessons. So it's worked out really well.
Oh, that is a smart approach, because who in third grade knows what to do in terms of safety? And they might say, yeah, I can swim. But what do you do if you're with someone who is in a predicament looks like he or she might need help?
Right. And the same thing with the special education kids.
Oh, absolutely. I think that water safety and water skills, especially since we're on a huge lake and there's so much water up here, that and it's a lifetime skill, isn't it?
That's right.
You know, it gets you through. I remember the first time I saw you, Jim, it was you swimming only on Channel 5 when you and a group of people were swimming the perimeter of Lake Pendere.
And that was another Eric Ridgway idea.
Have you ever seen that, Jack?
No.
There's a bunch of people on a boat having a ball.
Wow.
Okay, your turn to jump in. Do you what year was that?
Oh, that would have been 2000. I think that was 2008, because in 2007, I believe, it was 2008 or 2009, but I think it was 2007 that Eric organized us to. It was 9 of us. We used a houseboat as a sag wagon. And we swam from the southern end of the lake to City Beach. And we did that in, I think it was 17 and a half hours, 37 miles, mm-hmm. as a relay. Everybody took turns. You were in the water for, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes. And we just went straight through. We started at, I think it was noon, and ended up, up at City Beach at 5:30 in the morning. And, you know, Eric, you know, Plummer came out at 5:30 in the morning, took pictures. It was great fun. And then, and of course, that wasn't big enough. So the next year, we called that the big swim. And then the next year, we did the really big swim, where we started out at Kramer's. And again, somebody loaned us a houseboat to use. And we went all the way around the lake. We did 83 miles.
Wow.
It took us 46 and a half hours. It was almost exactly the same group of 9 people. And as a relay, and we used a GPS and did waypoints at all the little, you know, promontories that stick out in the lake. And we went clockwise around the lake, and oh my goodness, it was just so fun. I mean, we had just a ball doing it.
Well, is it still being shown on I saw it on Channel 5.
Oh my goodness.
And I can't tell you when, yeah, I thought, boy, that's really neat. What a
Well, Scott Rulander put that together. He and Dan Krabacher came along as our safety kayaker, because we always wanted to have a safety kayaker in the water, because, you know, we're going all night doing this.
You bet.
And Scott brought his video camera along and took a bunch of video, and then he edited it down, and that's the...
Mm-hmm. I think you brought up that notion of safety. Wouldn't you say that what the Longbridge Swim has done in terms of, over the years, improving safety for all the swimmers, in terms of when you talk about the number of people in the water, you know, they're in their kayaks, the number of people spotting on the bridge, that sort of thing. Hasn't safety improved a lot?
Oh, I think dramatically. I'll tell you, Courtney Sanborn, our volunteer who now runs safety, I think I mentioned I was responsible for safety for many years. Courtney, I transitioned that responsibility to Courtney a number of years ago, and she's taken that to a whole new level. And the way that the sheriff's department coordinates with the other agencies, and the way this has evolved, I mean, it's really impressive. You know, the coordination, the communication, again, Bonner General's involvement, you know, having an actual dive team out there if someone were to get into trouble and go below the surface. It's people really do feel taken care of out on the water.
And that's important.
And we model that really well. That, you know, we're very proud of that.
We've been here with Jim Zuberbühler here talking the Longbridge Swim. Anything in summation you can think of?
I think I'd like to, again, reference our volunteers. You know, we've got this, you know, wonderful core group of people. You know, I hesitate to mention all the names because I'll forget someone. and likewise, our sponsors. I do want to call out one or two more. I think maybe as an example, you know, Justin Dick has been such a long-term supporter at Trinity. He was one of the first people to sign up to be one of our sponsors. And Justin just told me the other day, you know, he really supports our efforts, you know, for the right reasons. He you know, thinks that the impact we have on swimming and safety is really significant. But he also sees the difference in his business because he sees all these Longbridge Swim t-shirts in his restaurant for about a week. And I think that many of our other sponsors here locally have similar experiences. And they really make my job easy because most of them come back year after year. And this year we'll raise very close to $20,000 for our Swim Lessons initiative. And we'll put another... $4,000 into our special
operating budget.
Yeah. And again, no paid staff, which again sets us apart from some of the other events that are similar to ours.
So. Perfect. Again, the Longbridge Swim, August 6th. Let's hope for perfect weather. Registration is open up until that Friday before August 5th. There is no registration on the day of the event. So you can go online. And if you don't know the URL, which is?
LongbridgeSwim.org.
You can go to Google, which I oftentimes do, and just put in Longbridge Swim, Sandpoint, and BAMO. You're directed to this site. Or you can register that day on August 5th, the Friday. But not on Saturday. Jim, thanks so much. And thanks so much for your contributions to the community.
Jim and Jack, thank you for having me.
Good. I've got another water song. You have a good rest of the day. Carla Bonath, whom I really like, does a classic song that we've heard many versions of, The Water is Wide, here on 88.5 KRFY. Then Jack and Jim will be back to make some more talk.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That is Carla Bonath, The Water is Wide, and we want to thank Jim Zuberbühler, the race director for the Longbridge Swim, for taking time out of his busy schedule and coming down and sharing lots of good information. Once again, Longbridge Swim, August 6th, a Saturday, registration up until that Friday. So go online and check it out.
You're listening to The Morning Show with Jim and Jack, and... Jim, what'd you get up to last night?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me that. I was at the Hive, and the Wailers were there. Bob Marley's backup band.
Yeah.
And if you like reggae, if you just like a clear sound, and if it was a good turnout, and they did a lot of, people were up just moving and dancing the whole time. It was a good turnout, a great venue, especially since they have... they've got four screens that must be, I don't know what their diameter is, like 16 feet or something. Four screens behind the performers. The two N1s have cameras on the performers. So even if there's a 6'8" person in front of you, you can still see the performers. And then the center two ones were like psychedelic trippy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a great evening, and kudos to the Hive. If you haven't been down there to hear the sound system, the light shows they're going to be putting on the Aftival, I personally highly recommend, if you're male, going to the bathroom in there, because there's some of the most unique urinals. I don't know what it's like in the women's bathroom. I can only take hearsay on that. But the men's bathrooms are really, and then where you wash your hands, it's like a water. It's just, you don't want to leave.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been in there once, and I was likewise just blown away by the...
They have done just great stuff.
Wish there hadn't been a concert going on. I just wanted to walk around the building
look at the plumbing. This is just the restroom. What's the other stuff in there? Let's talk about up-and-coming things. Tonight, the 21st, Trinity at City Beach is going to have live music. David Walsh from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There's also music at the winery. On Cedar Street, Jake Robbins, 6 to 8. Lots of music tonight. The Panada Theater the film. It's a New Zealand film, Hunt for the Wilder People, at the Panada Theater. It's going to occur at 7:30 tonight, and then it's going to be again at 5:30 on Saturday. I recommend the movie with Sam Neill.
You have seen it?
No, okay. I've only seen the trailers, and I've read about it. It's a foster child who's with a husband and wife in the middle of backwoods. The woman passes away, and it becomes a road trip with the curmudgeon elderly man played by Sam Neill, and just a terrific young actor who is just fascinating to watch. Hunt for the Wilder People tonight at the Panada at 7:30.
Interesting. Coming up on the 22nd, which is what is that?
The 22nd is Friday. Yeah, okay, it's Friday. It follows the 21st most calendars, Jack.
The Garden of Artistry Fine Art Show is tomorrow. The Garden of Artistry Fine Art Show is at the Pondere Garden Center north of Walmart on Highway 95 from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, and an opening reception from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. And then on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can wander around the paths of the garden and discover fine art, and admission and parking is free. Oh, that's nice. And then also at the Panada Theater, Me Before You, a touching love story at 8:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. Have you seen that one, Jim?
No, I haven't. But there's another movie on tomorrow night that I have seen. Uh-huh. The Bonner County Museum on Ella Avenue. They've been having their late night at the museum monthly event series. Tomorrow night, it's called Cinema in the Park. And it's going to be at Lakefield Park at 8:30. I don't know if it's going to be really dark by 8:30, but it says 8:30 p.m. The gates open at 6:30, and the movie is, and I bet you this is one you've seen, The Princess Bride. And that's always worth another view.
Yes, it is. That'll be great in the park, too. I'm going to that one.
And it says general admission includes food and drink, pack a picnic. Don't forget your blankets and chairs. Also a reminder that alcohol is not allowed in the park. And if I can throw a pitch in for The Princess Bride, Mark Knopfler did the soundtrack to it from Dire Straits. Uh-huh. And Mink DeVille sings the Storybook Love theme song from Princess Bride. And I just love that song. But what a great movie, and if you haven't, and it's a real family movie too. It's just a delight. So that's in Lakeview Park tomorrow night, 8:30, sponsored by the Bonner County Museum. Yay, Bonner County Museum.
That's a movie that you hear, there's a phrase you hear all the time where there's something for everyone in this movie, and I can't think of a movie that's more true of than The Princess Bride. Like, there's no
true love.
No one who can't find something that they would really like in their movie.
And what's nice about it, what I like about it, is the framework of it. It's the sick kid in bed pretending, and grandfather's coming in to read him a story about love. Is there kissing and stuff like that? And as he tells the story, the kid gets caught up in it. The magic of storytelling, which is truly wonderful, and there's so much about that movie that is so good that it wears well with reviewings.
It does indeed. Coming up on this weekend as well, Northwest Yoga Feast at the Eureka Institute. This is an experience that frees the spirit, feeds the soul, and nurtures the tummy. Learn more at nwyogafeast.com or call 263-2217. Who do we have in here? Eric, I think, a few weeks ago talking about the Northwest Yoga Feast, among other things.
And there's just so much. It's summertime. There's so much happening every night here, every night of the week here in Sandpoint in the area.
Going on tomorrow night at... It's an event called Shangri-La at the Lake, which is a an event in support of Underground Kindness. It's their fourth annual fundraiser from 5:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. at 116 Bella Circle in Sagal to help support family programs in the public schools, the Juvenile Justice Center, and the After School Project. It's a fun and family-friendly evening with eating, drinking, dancing, live and silent auctions, live music, and presentation by compassionists, educators, and students. This is called Shangri-La at the Lake, and it is, I think I know the location, at 116 Bella Circle, and it'll be right there on the lake. Very, seems like something out of the Great Gatsby or something, where you'll be looking, rather than looking across the sound, you'll be looking across the lake at Sandpoint, I think.
Is there a green light at that end of the dock, like in the Gatsby?
Yeah, probably so. They'll put one up.
A bit of self-promotion for me. Mm-hmm. Tonight, on the first hour of the three-hour block of the KRFY Folk Show, from 9 to 10, I'm going to be doing folk songs about couples, about pairs like Duncan and Brady, Betty and Dupree, me and my uncle, songs of that ilk. So that's tonight on KRFY, 9 to 10 o'clock. I'll be live here in the studio.
That's always a good show, and I love the themes that you come up with, too.
Well, it's fun. I enjoy music from the urban folk revival of the late 50s into the 60s. It's such a rich area and one that I grew up with, like swimming at the YMCA. It's part of my memory fabric.
Mm-hmm. There are, as you said, there's plenty of events going on. We're probably just going to have to say go to sandpointonline.com. But briefly, the Farmers Market is ongoing. The Rails to Resort Hill Climb bike race was rescheduled from July 9th and is now going on this weekend on the 23rd, starting on Schweitzer Mountain Road just across the tracks and finishing at the main lot of Schweitzer Mountain Resort. I would be interested in doing it if it was the other way. But going up, I don't know.
Going downhill, you bet.
In Ernest and Celestine on the 23rd is a movie at the Panada as well. Did you mention that?
No. The Panada has three movies this weekend, with the Lat one that you mentioned, Me Before You, and The Hunt for Wilder People. And I would suggest, since they're played at varied times, go to the Panada website. Just go to Google, put in Panada Theater in Sandpoint, and you'll get the whole script of when the movies are playing. And I think, well, I want to remind our listeners, 9 to 10 o'clock, right after us, there's going to be the second hour of Amy Goodman coming to you from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And tomorrow, it'll be just a two-hour block, 7 to 9 o'clock. And then next week, she'll kick in with the Democratic National Convention from Philadelphia on Monday and Friday next week. It will be 7 to 9. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it'll be 7 to 8. And then a break for the KRFY Morning Show. And then 9 to 10, she'll be back again. So we're doing a little bit of a different break in our scheduling, but I think it's important that we bring to you the coverage from both conventions, and we're willing to sacrifice a little bit of Otto's Eclectic Mix to do that. But I think it's a good community service that the station is doing.
I agree. And again, this is a unique hour. It's not a repeat of the hour earlier this morning.
It's totally different, the second hour.
Right, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. We probably have time to go out with a song here, Jim.
Should we go out with what's going to happen in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, the festival at Sandpoint is going to kick off with Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers. And so I think we've queued up a Bruce Hornsby song, and we're going to edge out with that because in just 2 weeks, we're going to be down at Soldiers Field and Memorial Field. I said Soldiers Field. I was thinking of Chicago. Yeah. Memorial Field. And let's hope it's lovely weather.
I hope so.
Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This has been The Morning Show. Tune in next week for more. Here's Bruce Hornsby.